Et je me perds. Les besoins de votre nom.
Thank you. Excuse me? Oh.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Of all the slides, the least one that I read is actually the bad, so I'll miss this one. Thank you. Okay, so it's late in the evening, and it's only about 15 slides separating us from the good Czech beer, so let's get on with it. This is a work that uses a sparsity technique in order to attack the problem of city reconstruction from noisy data. It was done jointly with my PhD supervisors, Michael Elad and Michael Sipulevsky. A snapshot of the resulting technique is the lower part of the slide. After the offline training, as opposed to the previous work here, the training of the data is done offline, and then we use a standard reconstruction algorithm such as filtered back projection, but before that some noise reduction in the sanigram domain is performed using, like I said, the sparse representations, and finally we get the final image. So that's a snapshot, and I'm getting to the details. Let us recall some basic model of the tomography so that I could have a foot to begin. We have, in this case, a two-dimensional slice of a male head, which I'm scanning with the X-rays. So each ray is has some initial intensity of I0 photons per unit time, and as the ray travels through the body, the photons are absorbed through the tissues. So the final number of photons we count helps us to estimate the line integral through the attenuation map. And this is actually the Radon transform, the two-dimensional Radon transform of the attenuation map. And what we are measuring are the approximations of line integrals up to a log transform. Now, in the low dosage scan, when we want to keep this number I0, keep it low, we have a deviation from the ideal number of photons to be counted, and therefore the true measurements are modeled as Poisson variables, instances of Poisson variables with the parameter lambda, which is both the expectation of this variable and the variance of it. So the higher the lambda, the number of photons we count, the less noise we have. So we have here the trade-off between good images we want to get and radiated and sick patients that we will have if we try to improve the image too much. Okay. So number of things that can be done in order to reduce the dosage in the scan is first to use algorithms which were specifically designed to acknowledge this statistical model. So there is a map objective which is minimized iteratively, and usually those algorithms are quite slow, despite the fact that they do truly improve the performance of such basic reconstructors as filtered back projection or other similar fast methods, which are currently truly are used in the clinical CT scanners. Another way to reduce drastically the amount of X-ray radiation is not to eliminate the entire head, but if you want to look only at the small region in the head, we can get away with radiating only that region plus some small additional amount of data. Theoretically, we must radiate the whole head in order to recover even one pixel, because the Radon transform is not local. But in practice, we can get away with much less radiation and still get a good image of some region. There are special algorithms to do that. We want to consider the scenario where we do scan the entire head, and in order to improve the result of filter back projection, we perform some cyanogram restoration, some processing of the cyanogram before we go and apply it. So just a quick overview of the images that we get along the way. From the scanned head, we get a perfect cyanogram, which is computed from photon measurements through the log transform. Then we have a data-dependent noise, which is added because of the low photon count to the system. And from here, we want to recover the final image. Okay, now when we define the goal, I want to get to the method that we are attacking the problem. I see that some damage was done to the symbols here, so this is almost equal sign. You know that if we try to decompose natural signals in such frames as wavelets or discrete cosines or the Fourier transform, we have a rapid decay of the coefficients. So similarly, we want to take a model where we assume that only a few non-zero coefficients are needed to represent the signal well. Here the signal for this case is a small quadratic page from the image. We put it as a straight vector. And we want to represent it as the product of matrix D by the representation alpha, which where the D is redundant, so that alpha is much longer, but we only use few columns from D. And so we both want a sparse vector. L0 norm measures the sparsity, the number of non-zero elements, and so that the residual eta would be small. Based on this principle, there is a noise reduction technique for standard signal image processing developed by Elad and Aharon in 2006. They defined this objective function, which contains three basic terms. The first term is a fidelity term, which compares the noisy image F tilde was supposed to be and the one we try to recover F. The second one requests that all the representations alpha, the J runs over all the small patches in F, overlapping patches, and EJ operator extracts a small patch from F, and here it is compared to a sparse encoding in the form of D times alpha J. So alpha J is a sparse representation, which L0 norm is small, and also the residual, the difference, the L2 normal difference, is required to be small. How this equation is solved online after the noisy image is obtained, so the dictionary D and the set of representations are both learned only from the noisy dictionary. There is also a variant when an offline procedure with training images are used. So here is what's called a KSVT algorithm. We minimize for the second and the third relevant terms for D and alpha. There are two steps to do it. We optimize for alpha and for D iteratively. And to compute the alphas, giving a dictionary D, we perform what's called a sparse coding. We want to find the sparsest alpha under the condition that a threshold, a norm of the residual is below some threshold epsilon j. This is done using an approximate algorithm, a pursuit algorithm such that orthogonal matching pursuit, OMP, or other pursuit algorithms. The second stage in this iteration is the dictionary update. It is not relevant to my talk, so I'll skip it. Finally, when we have the both dictionary and the representation, we can compute the image using the first and the third relevant terms for the image. There is actually a closed formula to solve this equation, so it is done quite quickly. Okay, and now this technique, which is, by the way, quite efficient for noise reduction in images, was used a couple of years ago by Liao and Sapiro to produce a reconstruction of an image from a CT scan. So it is basically the same equation as we saw a minute ago, except the fidelity term compares the noisy cyanogram G tilde and the image, the sought image F, which is transformed by the Radon transform. Well, first of all, I should say that this paper shows some very, very impressive results on images with rich geometric structure. Under severe conditions of partial data, they used very few projections. But in principle, there are a few problems in these equations which we want to try and repair in a different setup. So first of all, notice that they use the L2 norm in the fidelity term, which actually means that the assumption is that the noise is homogeneous. However, we do know that in the synchrogram domain, the noise does depend on the data. More than that, we know exactly how it does it depend. We know the variance of the noise, so this can be used. And the second problem with the fidelity term is we actually want to get a good low error in the image domain where the city image is observed. Instead of that, we are decreasing the error in the synchrogram domain, and since the Radon transform is ill-conditioned, this does not tell us much about what image F we are seeing here. The second problem is, which is also acknowledged by the authors, that we cannot truly obtain these coefficients mu j, as they are related directly to the thresholds epsilon j. We don't really use these mu j's, but for each patch, we need to know what is the expected error energy, so that to put here the correct threshold. If we don't know the noise statistics, and we do not know the noise statistics in the city image domain, because there, after the reconstruction, the noise is quite complicated, we cannot compute these thresholds quite right. There are some estimation techniques, but they don't give us a very good result. So we are trying to solve the problem, shifting to a different scenario where we do have a filtered back projection. Notice that this concept does not use any reconstruction. They just obtain the image as a minimizer of this equation. And we do use an offline algorithm which does supervised learning with training images. So we shift from the image domain, where the sparse coding was done earlier, to the synchrogram domain. And we want to code the patches of the synchrogram instead of the image. The penalty that we are seeking for is should be in the image domain, because there we can require for some nice properties of the image that we want to see. We're using an offline training stage, which on one hand requires some training images. On another hand, it makes the algorithm very fast, because all the heavy work is done once the CT scanner is initiated. And then in the reconstruction stage, it's almost as fast as the FBP itself. So the algorithm uses a set of reference images, high-quality city images, and also corresponding low-dose synchrograms should be applied. Such set can be obtained, for instance, using cadavers or phantoms, which can be scanned without any hesitation as to the radiation dose. Okay, so the algorithm goes as follows. We use the KSVD algorithm to train for the very similar equation as it was before, but we extract the patches of synchrogram and not of the image. Except from that, it is just the same equation, except from the very important difference that we don't need different coefficients for different representations. Here, notice it's a weighted L2 norm with a spatial matrix W I will detail on in the next slide. So this helps us to normalize the noise over all the patches. Okay, so we do encoding with a fixed threshold Q, which is actually the size of patch, the number of pixels in it. And the noise is normalized correspondingly so that this will work. Okay, now once done that, we have a dictionary and a set of representations that help us to produce a good sparse encoding for the synchrogram. One could stop here and use this dictionary to improve the sinograms in the future, but again, we want the penalty to be in the image domain, and here we're not comparing to the we're not comparing to anything. We're just requiring that for each patch there will be a good sparse coding. So the second step is to take these representations and to make the dictionary a variable. Now, this expression in here is actually the restored sinogram. I take the sparsely encoded patches, D times alpha J, return them to the sinogram matrix, and finally the M inverse counts for the patches overlapping. So this is the sinogram after I remove all the unnecessary noise, and T is some reconstruction algorithm. We want it to be linear for these equations to be solved easily, but it can also be nonlinear if this can be still solved. So it can be the filter back projection or some other linear algorithm like the Fourier inverse transform. I mean, for the Fourier algorithm for the inverse Fourier transform. Okay, so here D is the linear function in terms of the data provided here. So this L2 norm is easily minimized for D using, say, conjugate gradients. And all this is an offline training which prepares us these two dictionaries, D1 and D2. And in the second training stage, we will compare the reconstructed image with the original one. And we use also a weighted L2 norm, which allows us to demand specific things about the error that we are observing. This is the reconstruction error in this term, and the matrix Q allows us to do some things, which I will also show in a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, how do I use this trained data? Given a new noisy sinogram G tilde, I compute the representations using the sparse coding with the same threshold Q and the dictionary D1. And then these representations are used to encode the sinogram, the restored sinogram GREC. Okay, this is the same formula. Finally, when I have the sinogram, I apply the filter by projection to compute the image. Now, what are the matrices W and matrix Q I was talking about? In order to build normalize the error in the sinogram domain so that all these differences would be of the same, unit one energy, I need to recall what are the statistics of the noise in sinogram domain. So one, using the statistical model I introduced in the beginning, one can deduce that the variance in each location of the sinogram, the difference between the ideal sinogram value and the measured one, is approximately inverse to the true photon count, lambda L. We don't have it, but we can use a good approximation by the measured photon count. So when I multiply by 1 over the variance, I have a uniform noise now in the sinogram domain, so summing over the Q pixels in the patch, I expect the energy to be just the Q. And therefore, I can take this weight matrix as a diagonal matrix containing the initial photon counts in order to do correct sparsity coding with a known threshold. Now, as to the question of what kind of error measure am I using? In fact, with this slide, I'm more hoping for your help that coming to tell you something, because this is something I stumbled upon that wasn't quite considered in the literature, because not much of the supervised learning in the city reconstruction was done so far. I would like to think of an error measure which can be designed using a good quality reference image, which would help me to promote a good properties of the reconstructed images. For instance, if I'm looking at the head, I'm seeing a regions of bone and regions of air, which are not necessary for my reconstruction if I'm interested only in the soft tissues. There is a great dynamic range of CT values. Here it is about 1,500, here it is minus 1,000, and I want plus minus 30. So in the special weight map I design, I remove those regions. It can be seen in the piecewise constant phantom here that those regions are completely removed from the map. Then they are not. I don't consider them when I reduce my MSE over the rest of the image. Also, I would like to emphasize the edges of small tissues, so that here all the nuances will be will be of a good quality. So overall, I designed such a weighting map, and maybe there are good other designs that can be proposed. And with respect to this map, I can obtain a visually better images. I'm finishing in just 1 minute. I would just like to show some results. This is the piecewise phantom with random ellipses shown all about it. This is the reconstruction with standard filter back projection, where the filter parameters cutoff frequency was optimally tuned. This is compared to our algorithm and to double dose filter back projection result, which uses twice as much photons. And by the signal-to-noise ratio measurements, one can observe that these are more or less the same. Also, there are some results on clinical images. This is a head section from a visible human resource. And this, again, is the FPP algorithm, which is a little bit noisy. Here, I can recover the fine details much better, which also is roughly just about what I can do with a double dose in the filter back projection. So to summarize, we can see that sparse representations already were used for computed tomography, and they can produce very good results while taking not much of the computational effort, and they can be easily incorporated in the existing clinical scanners because it is just a matter of replacing the software. So that is it for now, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Questions, please. I return the microphone.
So is there a question? Nobody? Everybody is a little bit tired at the end of the day. So you mentioned at the beginning that another way to have to reduce the total X-ray exposure is to only reconstruct a region of interest.
Yes.
By just restricting the acquisition to X-ray passing through a region of interest. So
it is usually done radiating a small neighborhood of the region of interest and only a few global projections so that low frequencies can be also restored.
Mm-hmm.
So there are algorithms.
So yes, the question is, can you comment your approach and the approach of just reconstructing a local region, just considering the X-ray passing through these local regions?
You ask if my approach can be used for reconstruction from partial data. If I only measure the rays through the region of interest, if I can use this technique?
Mm-hmm. No. I think it's a different
method.
Well,
actually, yes, because my technique is local. I think locally in the sinogram domain, take a small patches and work on them.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I have partial data and there, I have some method of dealing with it, like an extrapolation, which is usually used, I can still work on the available partial data and do some pre-processing in order to get better SNR there before I do the apply that algorithm. So yeah, you're right. Those things can be combined.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. No more questions. So I would like to thank again all speakers of this session and also all people for attending this session. And.